Welcome back to That Porn Guide Podcast, your source for everything sex. Just real quick, before we get started, I just wanted to thank everybody who tuned into last week's episode and let those who don't already know that not only is this a podcast available pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found, but we also post this podcast to YouTube with a little bit more of a visual effect to it. You know, you can see the pictures of who we're talking about, etc. Be sure to check out both, especially if you want to comment or if you have suggestions. You can hit me up on YouTube. Let me know what you think in the comment section. And with that, we'll get started. This week's porn star is going to be Jules Blue. We're going to be talking about her a little bit. Then I have a few things to say about Cherry Apricot, which is going to be our OnlyFans girl of the week. Followed up by a steamy sex story from the internet. Then a little later, we'll get into porn news. And last but not least, in adult tech, toys, and crowdfunding this week, we found an awesome crowdfunding opportunity involving a comic book that involves a sex robot that takes over the world. First up, before we get into the porn star of the week, I do want to announce all the birthdays that happened this past week. On March 1st, male performer Derek Price and female performer Briella Bounce celebrated their birthdays. On March 2nd, female performer Rachel Rocks and Megan Salinas celebrated their birthdays. On March 4th, Angela White celebrated her birthday. On March 5th, Nina North celebrated her birthday. On March 6th of this week, Paris Gables celebrated her birthday. And on March 7th, both Katie Gold and Julia Roca celebrated their birthdays. All right, with the birthdays announcements out of the way, let's move on to our porn star of the week. Jules Blue. God, she's such a gorgeous woman. She's very beautiful. Definitely in my top 10 in female performers. I'm going to describe her to you here in a little bit, but I did type out some bullet points here that I did want to mention as far as her background. She was born September 21st, 1994. Her ethnicity is white with a German background. She did attend community college. Her hair is blue. She has blue eyes, fake boobs. Her height is right around 5'5", her weight's about 110, her bra cup size is 33C, her waist is 25 inches, her hip is 34 inches, no tattoos, no piercings, and she has a Pornhub rank of 113 at the time of recording this podcast. She started working in the adult industry around 2019, and she's still active in her career to this day, as far as I understand. In the porn awards arena, she's done pretty well for herself. In the Alt Porn Awards, she was nominated for Best Female Performer of the Year in 2020. In the AVN Awards in 2021, she was nominated for Best Boy-Girl Sex Scene in 2019's Writer's Block. She was a nominee for Best New Starlet. She was a nominee for Best Three-Way Sex Scene, Girl, Girl, Boy, in 2020's Dildo Fight. She was a nominee for Best Virtual Sex Scene in 2019's American Daydream. Nominee in Fan Awards Favorite Indie Clip Star. She was nominated in Fan Awards Hottest Newcomer, and she was a nominee in Fan Awards Most Epic Ass, which I do believe because she has, I mean, her ass is extremely epic. Not only is she in my top 10 for favorite porn stars, but she definitely is in my top 10 greatest asses of all time. She has the cutest little butthole, and it's like so clean. Ugh, it's the chef's kiss. Anyways, moving on. 2022, she was nominated for Best Virtual Sex Scene in 2021's Look At Me 2. And then in XBiz Awards in 2021, she was a nominee for Best Sex Scene Virtual Reality. And then in 2022, she was a nominee for Premium Social Media Star of the Year, which I believe she's pretty savvy when it comes to her social media. She's pretty, from what I can see and from what I've witnessed, my personal experience, especially in researching for this episode, she's pretty great when it comes to social media. So she should have won that one. She shouldn't have just been a nominee. She should have won that one. And from what I've found in my research, she's performed in at least 226 scenes. All right. So now I'm going to have a quick look at her Twitter feed, and I'm going to describe some of the pictures she has on there. And my favorite one that I came across while I was researching for this podcast was one image of her where she is bent over with her panties around her knees, and she gets her cheeks spread, and you get a perfect look at that hole that I was describing a little while ago. It's like I said, it's just beautiful. something you have to see for yourself. She's, as I previously mentioned, she's a white female. She's got blue hair. She generally mostly has blue hair. I think I have seen a few pictures and a few videos where she didn't have blue hair, but for the most part, she does. I think that's like her brand, her persona. She's got gorgeous lips too. I mean, I'm not talking about her vagina lips. I'm talking about her actual mouth lips. She's a gorgeous woman. She's got big eyes, big long eyes, big, not huge fake boobs. They're big, but they fit her frame really well. And then, of course, that to die for ass. I see another picture here. She's bent over. She's wearing blue lingerie, bent over. Kind of a side view. Real nice. The very first picture in her Twitter, I'm going to zoom back up to the top here. I kind of had scrolled down some. Her most recent tweet, she's standing there in what looks to be kind of like a maid's outfit, topless, and she's got her boobs and she's squishing them together. I wish I was more of a poet where I could better describe these things to you. I wish I had the words to convey to a listener the true beauty of Jules Blue. But anyways, moving on here. So in her adult content social media, you can find her on Twitter at Jules_Blue, where she has 277.9 thousand followers. Now, if you go there, you can that should be your first stop. If you are going to research, you're going to check, look into this as a fan, you should definitely go there first, because she has a All My Links link there, which will take you to all her platforms. But she also has, if you don't care to do all that, or you maybe don't have a Twitter, whatever. Anyways, her OnlyFans is at Jules Blue. And she has 324.4 thousand likes on OnlyFans. And then her other social media, this is her safe for work, non-nude content where you can find her. She does have a free OnlyFans, but she doesn't post any nude content there. But you can, if you want to get a look at her through OnlyFans, she has a free account at Free Jules Blue, where she has 18.8 thousand likes. She also has a TikTok page where she can be found at Only Jules Blue, and there she has 100.2 thousand followers and 590.1 thousand likes. Yikes. She is popular there as well. I haven't watched too much of her TikTok stuff. I've watched a few things, but moving on here, sure, you can also find her on YouTube at Jules Blue, where she has 4.41 thousand followers. So once again, if you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. Also, if YouTube's not your thing, you can follow us on Twitter, where I will also be retweeting these adult actresses and OnlyFans girls to my Twitter. Also, links to the sources where we get our news from, and also the crowdfunding campaigns, toys that we talk about, etc. You'll be able to find all that on our Twitter, links, pictures. Anyways, so moving on here. Our OnlyFans girl of the week, Cherry Apricot, another beautiful woman. I know it's funny because every actress or OnlyFans girl I talk about here, they're always going to be beautiful women. I'm always going to say it, but I mean, we're only going to talk about the most beautiful ones. But she's another beautiful woman, without a doubt. Cherry Apricot's OnlyFans girl. I don't have a lot of information about her, unfortunately. She's done very well in protecting her information. Like, I couldn't find age, place of birth, sizes, anything like that. And I couldn't even find a place to contact her without paying to contact her, which I wasn't going to do. I might do things like that in the future if this podcast ever starts making some money. But right now, I'm doing all this for free on my own time while still working a 9-to-5er. So, yeah. So as of now, couldn't get any of that information from her. Couldn't even request it. But what I did find was she joined Twitter around April 2020. So we'll just assume that was the start of her adult career. She started posting on OnlyFans in June 21st, 2021. As far as I can tell, she hasn't done any mainstream adult content, meaning like no studio scenes with porn studios, things like that. Her adult content social media includes Twitter at Cherry Apricots, where she has a following of 63.8 thousand followers. You can find her link tree there to get links to all of her other platforms, which there isn't a whole lot of. You can find her OnlyFans at Cherry Apricots, and she has 192.2 thousand likes. See, her other social medias include TikTok and YouTube. On TikTok, you can find her at Cherry Apricots, and there she has 118,300 followers with 731,300 likes. So she's pretty popular as well. Oops, and I just realized I made a mistake. I think I said that she had a YouTube. Now I can't seem to find the sources for that. So ixnay on the YouTube, eh? So she didn't actually have a YouTube account as far as I can tell. I thought she did. Misunderstood that completely. So let's have a look at her Twitter. So for the people not watching on YouTube, for my podcast listeners who are getting audio only, let me describe what she looks like real quick. She is she's a white female with, I wouldn't say a petite body, but she's definitely slender and not muscular at all. She has beautiful, flawless skin with the exception of some freckles around her nose and cheek area. She has beautiful red hair that I can only assume is real. I want to say she's a true redhead. I don't know that for sure. I've seen some pictures where her eyebrows are also red, but I've also seen some where they're brunette. But for overall look, it would appear that her hair truly is red. She has medium-sized boobs, real boobs. They're all natural, and they're about medium size. They're not large, but they're more than a handful for sure. She does have some tattoos. I haven't really got a good look to see what they are. And for you feet fetish guy, she's got some very cute little feet. Looking at her eyes, I want to say they're blue, maybe like a sky blue or a kind of a grayish blue. Not really sure how to describe that, but she's also got some seductive looking lips that are very attractive. All in all, she's a very attractive woman. I haven't seen what her nipples look like, so I can't describe that to you, and I haven't seen what her vagina or her butthole looks like, so I can't describe any of that to you. I haven't paid for her OnlyFans. On her Twitter, she doesn't really show any nudity, really. I mean, she does show some states of undress, but she does a very good job censoring the naughty bits. But I encourage you, if you aren't watching on YouTube, go to my Twitter. Once again, that's at that porn guide on Twitter. Check it out. I will retweet some of her stuff so you can get an idea of what she looks like. She's a very beautiful woman, and you should definitely check out her content. But do a step better than that and go check out her OnlyFans. Maybe subscribe for a month. It's only $6. $6, you get 31 days of her content. And check out Jules' OnlyFans too. I believe, if I remember correctly, you get, for 31 days, you pay $4.50 for 31 days of her custom-made content. Keep in mind, these girls, well, Jules Blue works in the porn industry, so she makes some money that way. Cherry Apricots doesn't, so her main source of revenue from this content, you know, is coming from her OnlyFans. But in any case, the industry being what it is, where everybody consumes their porn for free, I think it's only fair that we throw a few bucks their way, you know, to show our appreciation for them showing us their new body, having sex on camera and this kind of thing. So, you know, $4.50 isn't going to kill you, and it helps them out. It keeps them creating content. So if you're a fan of either one of these girls, or you become a fan through my podcast or my video for either one of them, help them out, you know, subscribe for a month, show them that you're a fan. I do believe also Jules Blue might have some merch for sale on her OnlyFans. I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyways, let's move on. Enough trying to get you to buy their stuff, but I do believe their content is worth the monetary value they put on it. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to sexy stories from the internet, where I'm going to read another story from the same writer from last week, prefers to remain anonymous. I still haven't been able to get in contact with any other sexy story writers. I've been trolling Reddit trying to get somebody to answer me back to give me permission to use their story, but nobody's responded to me yet, whatever. Anyways, though, so this one's from the same writer from last week, and here we go. Being in the swingers lifestyle, you find yourself interacting with people that are into all kinds of kink. In most cases, it's great, allowing you to network with people of similar interests and fantasies. With that said, every now and again, you find yourself unwittingly playing out someone else's fantasies, or fulfilling some desires that they're not getting elsewhere. And in some cases, they might even try to broaden your sexual horizons in sudden and unexpected ways. Which is where my story starts. My wife and I had been communicating with a couple for a few weeks and decided to meet up for dinner. I won't bore you with the details of dinner, but it went great, so at the end of the meal we asked the couple if they were into the idea of splitting a motel room for a little adult fun. They agreed to furthering our adventures together, so we quickly made our way to the motel. It didn't take long for things to heat up after that. Shortly after entering the room, the clothes started coming off and we commenced foreplay, which was a really great start to the evening's adult activities. For those of you not in the lifestyle, you have to understand, the first time you meet up with a new couple, it usually doesn't end up in a sexual encounter. So you can imagine, I was pretty excited and happy that things were going so great. As quickly as everyone's clothes had come off, we basically skipped what I call the dry humping phase of foreplay, and before I knew it, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, her between my legs, with my penis in her mouth. After a few minutes of this magnificent pleasure, she moved up to the bed, lying down on her back. Since my penis had already been in her mouth, I assumed it was my turn to reciprocate. But just as I was about to commence with the clingus, she grabbed my head, and looking me directly in the eyes, she says, "Can we just fuck already?" I wasn't about to argue for extra work, so I was happy enough to oblige. Grabbing her ankles together with one hand and placing the other on the side of her hip, I pushed her knees into her chest, her ankles in the air, and then inserted myself. This whole encounter must have been very erotic for her, as she was very well lubricated, for a lack of better words. We worked this position for about 10 minutes, and then decided to change it up to doggy style. She quickly flipped over and pushed her buttocks right up to my waiting hips, and then we were back at it. After being in this position for a few minutes, she started to explore my body with one of her hands, first on the side of my hips, then slowly working between my legs, where she gently caressed my testicles, gently tugging on them and massaging them. I could have easily orgasmed in that moment, but I wanted the experience to last longer, so I held back. Then, in what I could only explain as a plot twist, her fingers slowly started sliding back further and further down the backside of my testicles and across what I call the open field of my taint towards my rectum. I wasn't too concerned at first. It wasn't until she attempted to insert her finger that things went south. Now, I count myself as an open-minded individual, willing to try anything once or twice, so even I was surprised at the reaction my body had to this new experience, which was to shut down. Literally, it was like flipping a switch. I went from rock hard to instantaneous soft. I went so soft, so quick, that my penis pulled out for me, and in doing so, my condom slipped right off upon my exit. I was so embarrassed, I grabbed the condom and excused myself to the restroom. Keep in mind, there were two other people in the room when this happened, my wife and the other husband. It was awkward, and I was embarrassed, but quickly recovering in the restroom, I was able to get my little guy back to attention. So I slept on a new condom and rejoined the group, hoping to keep the fun going. Without even saying a word, my lady friend for the evening quickly hopped right back into position as to tell me she wasn't done with me yet. And just like that, we were off to the races, or so I thought. As soon as I went to insert myself, I instantly went soft. Pulling away for a few seconds, I managed to work myself back into a hardened state, only to have the same exact thing happen again when I went to make penetration. It was so frustrating and embarrassing at the same time. Before the evening ended, we all had a good chuckle about the situation and agreed that it was more funny than embarrassing. I have to say I was unimpressed with myself, to say the least. But all's well that ends well, as a few weeks later we ran into that couple at a swingers bar, where I got a bit of an ego stroke. You see, the girl from the couple was flirting heavily with a man in the community, known to be very attractive and have a big penis. Things seemed to be going well, so I assumed they would probably be hooking up that night. And they may have, but before they did, she made a point to come over to where I was to ask me to dance. I told her I don't know how to dance, and she told me it's just like fucking. And I could fuck. Apparently I had made an impression with a sex position called the G-Wiz, with a slight modification involved. Instead of placing the legs over my shoulders, I grabbed the ankles, pushing the knees back towards the chest. Anyways, apparently I was able to hit all the right spots, and what I thought was an unsatisfactory evening turned out to be a more than satisfactory evening for her. End scene. And that's our sex story for this week. I'm taking a bow. You can't see me, but I'm taking a bow for my efforts in reading that. I know I'm horrible at reading these sex stories, but in any case, next up is adult tech, toys, and crowdfunding. And today we're going to be talking about a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter titled Samantha Fucks the World. What happens when a sex doll becomes sentient and takes over the world? Sex, comedy, revolution. Samantha Fucks the World is a 72-page long graphic novel and a one-shot, meaning the story wraps up within the issue. It is absolutely jam-packed with comedy, drama, sci-fi themes, and action. It also promotes body positivity, healthy relationships, and sex positivity. And from what I could gather, the story basically revolves around two unlikely heroes that are tasked with saving society from Samantha the sex doll when she gains super intelligence and takes over the world with her army of sex bots. Their campaign goal, their pledge goal, what they needed to actually raise to publish this graphic novel was $2,680, and they've already reached $4,896. So they've already reached their goal and then some. By the time you're hearing this podcast, the campaign may already be over, But at the time of recording this podcast and releasing, they had about 9 days left. So if you are interested in contributing to this campaign to receive the 72-page long graphic novel, you'll need to act pretty quickly. By the time you hear this, it may already have ended. They may also have a way to purchase past the campaign. If you're interested in picking up this graphic novel for yourself, to get both the digital copy and the printed copy, you'll need to pledge right around, I think it's $17 US plus shipping. This is a European-based project, so they will have to ship it overseas. I do want to make a quick disclaimer real quick. I am not affiliated with these guys at all. I have nothing to do with this project. I'm not making any money off of advertising for them or anything, and I cannot guarantee the quality of their work. This is a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign. Make sure you understand how crowdfunding campaigns work before you make a pledge. It's not like where you go to the store and you pay money and you buy something. You're making a pledge to help them create something, and if everything works out, then you get something for your investment. So make sure you understand how all the rules work with that before you pledge to the campaign. I personally have pledged to plenty of campaigns on Kickstarter, and for the most part, they've all worked out pretty well. I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm not making anything off of their project by helping them out. I found the project. It looked sexy. I thought I would point you towards that in case you were interested in kind of a, you know, sci-fi sex theme comic book. The link's in the description if you want to check out the full crowdfunding project for yourself. There's quite a bit more than what I mentioned here, including 2 cool videos, a bunch of stretch goals, and some add-on features if you decide to make a pledge, stuff that you can add on to get a little bit of extra content if you're interested. It truly is a neat little project if you're into comic books and that kind of thing. This is a pretty interesting one, so I thought I would share it with you guys. And with that, we're going to move on to porn news. And we're going to start this week's porn news off with a update on the Lana Rhoades CryptoSis NFT scandal. Lana has decided to tweet about the situation, claiming, and I quote, "In the grand picture of things, this is so fucking stupid for me to even address outside of finding a solution for the actual holders of the NFT. People are living in fear of their lives in Ukraine right now, and people are worried about NFTs. What has this world come to?" End quote. Now, she says this in what I personally believe to be an obvious attempt to use deaths in Ukraine to divert attention away from her NFT scandal, which doesn't paint a pretty picture. Now, I say scandal because, as far as I know, no formal charges have been brought against Lana Rhoades. And in an investment case like this, there probably won't be any charges, honestly, as everyone involved understood that it was an opportunity investment, not a guarantee. Meaning they knew there was risks involved by funding this project, that it may, just like kind of like a crowdfunding project, there's no guarantee it will come to fruition. But it most certainly doesn't help her case any that she, from what I understand, has deactivated her Twitter account after a heated exchange with CoffeeZilla about the situation. So that kind of doesn't look good either. I will say this on behalf of Lana Rhoades. I believe I read somewhere as I was researching for this podcast that she said something on the lines of, it's not her responsibility to make the NFT valuable. It's up to the buyer of it, that's how it works. You know, if you go buy an NFT somewhere, it's not the creator of that NFT's responsibility to make that a profitable investment. You know, you have to try to find a market for it to resell it if you want to make a profit off it, or hang on to it until it increases in value. So I agree with her on that fact. But at the same time, I do believe this whole thing was kind of misrepresented as a sure thing. But in all things investments, there is no sure things. What I'm saying is they should have known that it was not a for sure thing and it might not work out in the end. But I can see it from both sides. I can see how the investors are feeling like they've been left out of the loop or abandoned. At the same time, I can see how Lana Rhoades feels like she shouldn't be held responsible for 100% of other people's investments, risky investments at that, just because she's the face of the project. Because there were other people involved in this project as well, but it seems like all of the shit publicity is landing solely on her shoulders. But at the same time, she, as far as I understand, is the founding member of this project, so I'm going to try to remain neutral. I mean, honestly, I hope it works out for all parties in the end. I do very much enjoy Lana Rhoades' content. I mean, I have watched an insane amount of her VR porn, her, you know, standard porn. She's a gorgeous woman. And at some point in time, she's going to be the porn star of the week on this show because she's in my top 10. I'll be straight up with you. She's in my top 10. So I may seem a little biased to her side just because of that. She's a gorgeous woman. She's got a number 10 ass. Like, it's like perfect. Anyways, in other news this week, as I was researching for this episode and trying to find some juicy news for you guys, I ran across this article. It's a little bit old. It's from back in January. It's from the U.S. Sun. The headline for the article reads, "Dead Wrong, OnlyFans star reveals mortifying text from her uncle who found her page online." Deputy Technology and Science Editor Harry Pettit writes, "A porn star has shared the cringe message sent to her by her uncle after discovering what she did for a living. The adult actress, who works under the stage name Carly Brooks, shared a screen grab of the stomach-churning text in a TikTok video last week." And then there's a couple of screenshots from the TikTok video, and the text messages, I guess, are in the TikTok video. The first one reads, "When 5 years without my family finding out what I do, corncob emoji. I got this text today, facepalm emoji." And then the second screen grab is of the text message from the porn star's uncle, which reads, "Hey kiddo, exclamation point, this is your uncle blank. I think I might have stumbled across a video of you today. See no evil monkey emoji. Very nice. Do you happen to know Riley Reed? Question mark. Also, do you have an OnlyFans? Question mark. My friend wants to know." Creepy uncle much? Man. Yeah, but it's got to be a horrible situation for Carly. But I'm not going to read the rest of the article. I will leave a link to it in the description of both the YouTube video and the podcast if you want to check it out for yourself. But essentially, it just goes on to tell the reader about how she's got 60,000 fans on the video sharing platform. I guess they're talking about OnlyFans. And then she managed to keep it a secret for 5 years from her family. But between OnlyFans and Pornhub, she's racked up millions of views. And it was only a matter of time until her family found out. I mean, you have to imagine pretty much every guy watches some amount of porn, and it's generally on Pornhub. So if your content's being posted on Pornhub and you don't want your family to find out, I mean, come on. But that is really creepy. That's a number 10 creepy uncle for sure. That's just insane. But I don't even know how I would personally react if I found a family member on OnlyFans or Pornhub. I obviously would not contact them like this creepy uncle, but what do you think? What do you guys think? Let me know if you're watching this, if you're listening to this on YouTube. Let me know what you think in the comments about this particular girl's situation, or if you've ever been in a similar situation where you found a family member on OnlyFans, or if you're on OnlyFans and a family member has found you. Let me know these stories. Tell me what you think about this particular story. Let me know if any of these stories have happened to you. And if you want to share a story that I can put on the podcast, DM me the story and make sure you put in there you're giving me permission so that I can add it to the podcast. That'd be awesome. Anyways, it's been a slow news week. There's nothing else to report. We'll start wrapping this thing up. But before we go, just a quick reminder about our social media platforms. We're on Twitter at ThatPornGuide. That's where I'm going to be posting most of the content described and discussed in this episode. So if you want to see the pictures that I was describing, if you want to see the crowdfunding campaign, the links to the news articles, you can find that on Twitter. I am also on YouTube at ThatPornGuide. I'll be doing the same thing there, posting all of the links to the news articles, crowdfunding campaigns, etc. Unfortunately, on YouTube, I can't post the nude content that I can on Twitter, so maybe do both. In any case, that's our show for the week. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. I'm out.